When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Punk Rock NBA Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I'm Finn McKenty. This is the Punk Rock NBA Podcast. Today's guest is Nick Nocturnal. You may know him as the funny meme guitar YouTuber man, which he is, but turns out he is actually a very thoughtful, intelligent, smart guy in terms of like the business side of things and managing your own psychology as a creator, which in my opinion is the most difficult part of all this. So we get into all that, how he runs his channel, how he thinks about his content strategy, and how he's changed it over the years, and a bunch of other good stuff. Before we get into that, I wanted to mention a couple ways that you can support the channel if you would like to do that. Number one, share it on social media. That helps a lot. Number two, you can pick up some merch. Got some cool new deathcore shirts, coffee mugs, some other stuff. And number three, you can support us on Patreon if you really, really like us. Patrons get every podcast a week early. There's a members-only private Discord server. I do Q&As. I've been doing some giveaways lately. There's also a way to have me review your music or video or artwork or anything else you would like to get my eyes on. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can do all of those things at the link in the show notes. But first, before we get into that, let's do a little bit of Q&A. As a creator, how do you manage your day to stay productive while still being able to enjoy downtime? I think the key to this question is don't waste time. If you're awake, let's say 12 hours out of the day or 14 hours out of the day, whatever the number is. Actually, so whatever, 16 hours out of the day. You don't sleep 12 hours. If you're awake 16 hours out of the day, you can get a lot of shit done and still have time to relax and, you know, exercise and all the other stuff you want to do if you make the most out of every minute. Like, if you think about what you get done in an hour of focused work, it's a lot. You can get a lot done in that amount of time. But if you're interrupting yourself all the time, looking at your phone or, you know, watching YouTube videos that aren't related to what you're doing and blah, 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 like dicking around, wasting time, well, then you're going to get nothing done in an hour. So I think that there's no app or, you know, method. People have all those bullet journals and Pomodoro method, blah, blah, blah. If that works for you, great, you can do it. But I think that it just comes down to having the discipline to be focused and make the most out of the time that you do have, and then you can get a shocking amount done. So that is my advice. And as far as being able to enjoy downtime, I was just talking about this. I work a lot, but it's not because I feel pressure to work a lot necessarily, although there is a little bit of that. It's because, at least with my work now, there's not something else more interesting that I would rather do, right? I mean, sometimes I try to play video games and stuff, and it's actually hard because I'm like, this is boring to me compared to making a new piece of content or whatever. So that's another thing I would say, is like, find the thing that you enjoy so much that working on it isn't work, it's fun, and that will help a lot. So I hope that helps. And with that out of the way, let's get into this episode. Nick, welcome to the podcast. Are you a Reaper person?
No, I'm a Cubase person.
Okay, good. I just wanted to apologize. I am actually recording my audio in Reaper.
Okay.
I hope that's not going to be a problem.
No, it's okay.
You probably have a lot of Reaper people on your channel, though.
Yeah, I mean, Reaper, is it still free? I know that's what kind of the big thing back then was, like, it's the free one to go for.
You can evaluate it forever.
Oh, okay.
It tells you how many times you've launched it. I think I'm on like 750.
No, yeah, I probably would have been using Reaper if I didn't accidentally get like a free thing of Cubase when I bought, I think, like a DI or something back in the day. So I understand the Reaper loving. It's pretty common.
It's terrible. It's awful software, but the only thing I use it for is recording a podcast.
Right.
It works for that, but highly do not recommend it to anybody listening. Well, so what's been keeping you busy the past couple of days? I see you've been going crazy with the React videos.
Yeah, reactions, man. That's something I've been doing for a bit now, and it's just an easier way to kind of keep up with what's actually happening. You know, I used to be like all about the guitar covers and doing that, but I mean, that takes a lot more effort and time, and the reactions are just simple. Song comes out, you turn on the camera, you say hello, do funny faces, listen to something, and then, you know, that's kind of it. You just do a quick edit with, you know, zoom ins, because that's some seriously high quality shit right there. And that's kind of it. You can kind of share it and experience it with people. So yeah, I've been doing that a lot more. Plus, it's kind of the new thing, right? It's just, yeah. It used to be covers. That's when I kind of got into the game like a long time ago. But, you know, reactions is what people want to see. They want to get that feeling like a new song comes out and they want to tell like their best friend, like, dude, you need to check this out right now. And they want to sit there and like watch them check it out, basically. So I used to not get that at all. I was like, why the fuck are people watching me, you know,
right,
watch things? But I kind of get it now. It's still kind of weird, but I mean, I feel it. So, you know, it's just what people are doing. It's weird.
Well, I have a few questions there kind of about content strategy that I'll ask in a minute. But just as a little bit of background for people, you've been doing YouTube. You started, your first upload was like 6 years ago or something, at least it's public.
Yes, the first public probably upload or one that I didn't delete was 6 years ago. It's been a while.
And you've been pretty consistent since then. I mean, at least especially for the last 4 or 5 years or something, you've put out a lot of fucking videos.
Yeah. I checked the other day because I was just curious. I was like, how many have I done? And then I went on Social Blade and it said 1300. And I
Jesus.
Was like, when, yeah. You know, when did that happen? It's really weird for me because it's not like when I started this, I had a goal of like, I'm going to get to 100 videos or this many videos or any of that. It's just something I do. I was in school doing all that shit. And then I'd come home, new song would come out or whatever, I'd do a video. It just kind of was part of my life. So I never thought twice about what it would be, what it would turn into, or how far I'd go. And yeah, it's kind of weird when people say now, like, hey, Nick, you have over 1,000 videos. And I'm like, that's a lot of time. That is a lot of time.
It is. Well, looking at your videos, you didn't really have any one big breakthrough that kind of put you on the map, did you?
No, my biggest video, which had nothing to do with my channel anyways, was Slavic Metal, which was just Slavic memes and making a metal song out of it with like accordion and all that shit.
And you are Slavic?
Yeah, like I'm Canadian, as you can probably tell. Like I'm super AAA and like, you know, I'm not like usual European, but my family is all Euro, so like, and Slavic.
I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, we'll get through this together.
And yeah, so like whenever you go to like those, you know, family gatherings and stuff, like all those things in that video are there, right? So I'm very, you know, used to kind of that stuff. So I did that video and that was my biggest. And again, like it's fucking like 2 million or whatever the fuck it is. But in terms of like one video that like was like, oh, who is this kid kind of thing? Like I never really had one of those. I just kind of kept doing my thing and annoying people enough over the years that unfortunately now when they see my name, they're just like, fuck, it's that guy again, you know?
Well, I think there's so much to be said for that, you know, just because what you have done is just slowly over time, you know, you build, you put one pebble on the stack at a time, yeah, and then you get there. And so you're not relying on the luck of the draw of kind of getting that magic thing that the algorithm loves.
Yeah.
You've just kind of built it the hard way, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a grind where it's just like you kind of said, you just putting pedals on pedals. And I always thought like different ideas of like, well, what could be like my thing, right? What could be the thing that, you know, differentiates me from the crowd that, you know, I could see when I posted, you know, you can kind of envision like, oh, this is something like a news art or like a publication would want to pick up, you know, and shit like that. And I would think of some things here and there and they won't really hit. But other than that, I've always just been like, well, you know, I like guitar, I like metal music, and I like writing and being a dumbass. So honestly, I kind of has devolved into any content that revolves around that. I kind of go with, and sometimes it gets lucky, you know, sometimes you look and you're like, oh shit, it has that number one rank in the fucking, you know, yeah. YouTube thing. When you go to your studio thing, you're like, yes. And then sometimes it'll be number 10 and you're like, I hate everything and I want to quit right now. But
so you feel that way too. My last video is currently 10 out of 10, which for anybody listening, like when you log into the YouTube studio app, it shows you like your last video. It'll tell you out of, you know, the last 10 videos, where does it rank for views? And my last one is in 10th place. And every time that happens, I'm like, fuck, I suck. My channel's done. Nobody likes me anymore. I should just quit. What am I going to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
So you do that too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like over the years and dealing with it for so long, you know, like the ups and downs of like, oh, this video got like 100K views. Oh, this video got 500. You know, it's so fucked that I just have adapted to being like, to try to not care as much about the numbers, but it's hard.
A state of constant fear and misery. You just live this way.
I try my best to avoid that and like not, for example, purposely not looking at my social blade and things like that, because it's hard to control. You know, the best way I always have put it is I try my best to maximize my luck by opening every door I can, kind of by by being a yes man. You know, sometimes to a point of my semi-demise of just doing too much and I can't even actually do it, right? So as long as I keep doing that in that mindset, I feel like the thing just kind of happening or popping off will rely on the luck part, but also then just me finding that right kind of maybe video or that few strain of videos, you know. But again, how will that be born? Out of me being a dumbass. I don't think it'll be born out of me necessarily looking at the numbers every day and being like, well, this, you know, video did, you know, 5% better than this or this, and kind of I've done that before. You know,
I don't, you know, people really geek out on that stuff and I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I think it is too, because a lot of it just doesn't make sense in the end, because I've analytically been like, this type of series has done better than this, and then I'll do that series a bit more, but then I'll go back and do one video of the other series that I stopped doing forever, and that video will fucking blow up and I'll be like, well, why didn't the other ones? And I'm like, oh, right, because YouTube, the algorithm, maybe just I just got maybe lucky that day, you know, it got shoved in there.
Sure. I mean, it literally is affected by everything in the known universe.
Yes.
You know, like if something really bad happened in the news that day, maybe people are bummed out and they don't want to listen to you be silly.
Exactly. No, it literally anything. There's so many variables. I started to realize that it's like putting all this pressure on myself to be like, well, this didn't do as well. It's tough because, I mean, I'm sure you're also like very self-conscious and you want to be like, why? Like, how do I get better? Like, why didn't this do as well? Yeah. Right. I'm the same way. And it's like, I want to self-evaluate this video. What went wrong? Why didn't this pop as much? Was it the thumbnail? Was it the titling? Was it the tags? Was the concept bad? Was I just too fucking stupid? Knows? Right. You know, like, but it's so hard because those aren't anywhere near all the variables anyways. So the best you can do is just kind of look at it objectively. I like to go back usually after a week and like kind of watch it. And I'm like, is this actually funny? You know, like,
right.
I know it made me laugh because I was fucking stupid in the moment, but is this actually funny? And if it is, I'm like, okay, you know, and I look at the title again. I'm like, yeah, title works. You know, it's pretty generic. It can kind of catch your eye. The thumbnail is pretty catchy. It has just a few things. It's easy on mobile. It's easy on all that. You know, probably just got a little unlucky with the algorithm. All right. You know, And that's kind of what I sum it up to sometimes. And then I just always try to build on it and not just blame the algorithm, because I feel like that also could be scary, because then you never actually improve. Right.
Well, that's why I find, you know, the kind of consistency that you have really inspiring and valuable, because there's some stuff you can control. There's a lot of stuff you can't. But the one thing you can control is just keep making shit and do the best you can every time.
Exactly. And it's weird for me because I get this sense when I'm not doing something, like I get anxious. And I don't know if you feel that same kind of way sometimes when you're like, I am enjoying myself right now, but I'm not working. And it's like,
it's really, really hard for me to not work. It's actually stressful for me. You know, I'm the opposite of most people. Like, you know, if we're going to go on vacation or something, I have to like sort of mentally prep for it. Like, okay, I'm not going to work for two entire days. This is going to be hard, but I can do it.
Dude, it's the same thing for me. It's weird. It's like a gift and a curse, because it makes us super productive, but it's just like, fuck, man. I just wish I could I wish I could just enjoy simple things again, you know, just like sitting in the fucking living room and watching a dumb TV show and not being like, is my career ending right now?
Dude, that is exactly how I feel anytime I'm not making something.
Yeah, it's scary. it's definitely scary. But again, like, this is stuff I've dealt with over just a period of like 6-7 years, however long. And it never fixes itself. And I've noticed, and it's very cynical too. It's like, yay, everything's awesome. Algorithm's favoring me. Oh my God, things are great. I have so much content lined up and my career is over. I want to quit right now. What else can I do? Can I still get it? You know, think I can still get a job at McDonald's nowadays? Like, what's going on here?
Yep. I'm currently at the bottom of that right now because I had a 10 out of 10 video.
I think my last one was I think an 8 or a 10 as well. It's just...
And what's fucked up is that my views for the month are actually... super, like, probably my third highest ever or something. But, you know, you don't care about that. You just focus on, it's basically how you're only as good as your last video.
Yep, exactly. And even I looked like at my stats and I was like, usually it's pretty obvious. Like, if the views are up, the subs are up, and you know, those are pretty correlated. And recently it's been like the views have been up, but then the subs have been down. And I'm like, nope, I can't. This is some meta shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like astrology. Well, yes, but Mercury is in retrograde right now, and so that means your star sign is dominant.
It's crazy, man, and it's to keep track of it, I'm already stressed enough.
So I killed a chicken, and I spread its guts out on the sidewalk, and that was really helpful because I realized it was my tags from that. I said, well, look at the way the liver is laying.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man, and then it's very addictive, too, because then you'll be like, what is this wrong? And then you'll like look at your thumbnail and then maybe your thumbnail is actually solid as fuck, but you'll just stare at it for like 3 fucking hours and be like, is this too small? And you'll just do every little thing and just
should have turned my face 4 degrees to the right. Yeah. They can't see my other ear. That must be it.
That must be it, right? Or maybe because I changed it after I uploaded the video, did that screw with the algorithm in promoting it? Did that make YouTube not want to promote this? Right?
Right.
Did I accidentally say a swear word? Did I say fact or something that they thought was a swear word and it maybe wasn't as advertiser friendly, meaning YouTube didn't want to promote it as much, you know? I just counteract that by swearing all the time though, but it's stressful. Same.
I guess the takeaway for anybody listening, you know, if you're a creator of any kind, which I think most people listening to this are, is like, all the analytics and stuff are helpful and, you know, you should pay some attention to them, but you don't want to be like us and, you know, drive yourself nuts. You got to just make stuff. And that's what will ultimately move the ball forward for you.
It's tough because like, I like to parallel, obviously it's a business, right? But it's a business, not like this evil, you know, corporate word like, you make money. You know, it's like, no, I mean, if somebody opens up like a fucking restaurant or something, a lot of time it's because they're really passionate about what they want to do. It's not just like, let's go make a bunch of fucking money. And the thing is, in order to make it so people can see your product or see your service or see your passion and actually see it evolve, you need to not be homeless. You know, you need to actually have a business. So of course the analytics and all that stuff is important. And it's weird, like being a YouTuber and seeing something not do as well. Cause to me, that's the same feeling as if I had a restaurant or something and seeing, oh, we are like losing money this month. You know what I mean? In that sense, like, what's happening? Why aren't the customers coming back? You know? And it's such a weird dynamic in a weird fucking world. But do you, I guess, have that same kind of sense of, I guess, analysis when it comes to your channel, like that business mind of like, This is this. Why isn't this doing this well?
And then you kind of panic. Because I mean, that's what I do, you know, with Nail the Mix and the other businesses and stuff that I'm part of. I mean, I look at those analytics all the time and like, why did we get more subscribers this month than last month and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm looking at numbers. Basically, my entire existence is looking at numbers, trying to figure out patterns there and what to do with that, you know, what we should do with the product in response to those numbers. And I don't, you know, a YouTube channel is no different to me than any other product, which I know some people don't like to.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that think, well, that's bad because it's not art. Mm. That's just how I think. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's just how I think.
Well, it's that mindset. I've met so many artists and talented musicians in my lifetime, even through this journey on YouTube. And it makes me sad when I see all this talent. And then a year later, it's like they didn't even exist. You know, it's like they're going to have to face the work because, well, they had to either quit or they lost the passion for it or whatnot. It's just Well, yeah, because they were only focused on the art side, which again is so beautiful. And I see so many fucking talented people, way more talented than my dumbass.
Sure.
Right. And it's just like, they're gone. No one ever gets to see that talent. And it's sad. Right. And that's why I'm like, that business side is so important. And I think more nowadays it's getting valued a bit more, but it's, I feel like it's still so undervalued in a way, because as soon as you think of, oh, making money, you think of the word like, ooh, corporate labels and greed. Yeah. And, you know, everyone's going to rip each other off. And, you know, the art is dying. Everyone's just a robot, you know, making music to maximize profits and shit.
But these are all just stories people tell themselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be true unless you make it true, unless you let it be true.
Exactly.
It's not true at all. I know, like, all my friends now, fortunately, it's pretty cool. You know, I think you surround yourself with the kind of people that you want to surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I talk to now makes a living doing something that they're passionate about. And I think they make cool art. And I know that it's possible because I know 50 people that do it every day.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, man, got to get creative. I mean, there's Corona, people can't even just do a normal job if they need to. Right. So people are at home trying to get creative, and more people are on Twitch than ever I've ever seen in my entire life. And more people are on YouTube. And they're just doing things and seeing what, you know, instead of just sitting there, you know, fucking watching Netflix, which I would love to do without panicking for 3 seconds. You know what I mean?
It's like, man, there's so much good stuff on Netflix. If only my brain would let me enjoy it.
if only I could actually watch this and not be like fucking screaming inside of my head right now. Panic, that would be great, yeah, like, dude.
I'll force myself to enjoy Netflix for 20 minutes.
Yeah, because it's healthy for me. Or maybe I'd leave my house for the first time in like 5 days because it's healthy. Probably, right? Like, why would I go for a run when I could just try to make a video right now?
Another video.
Oh, because health, and I'll die younger than I should. I get it. Okay.
You know, a lot of people ask me about like being productive and motivated and stuff like that. And what I always tell them, you know, honestly, I shouldn't get credit for being productive or organized because I was just born that way. There's no secret that, like, I don't have to convince myself to be organized or be productive. It's actually the opposite. So, you know, I think everyone should just understand who you are and how your brain is wired. And, you know, you're probably not wired like us, which isn't a good or bad thing. It's just different, you know, and trying to force yourself into being a super organized person, if you're not one, is probably just going to make you miserable.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. I mean, I used to not have a plan or a calendar. I was that kid in school that like would forget everything and never do shit on time. Be like, oh, this is due today. And as soon as I started this thing, like this, because I actually cared about it, it's like calendar since day one. Like it's stacked every day, every morning. It's a routine. What do I have to do today? Oh, I realized I don't actually have enough time to do all this stuff today. Guess I'm staying up till 5 a.m. You know what I mean? Like,
so do you actually plan out like time for shooting and editing and all that stuff like in your calendar?
Kind of. So when it comes to like my video scheduling, I actually do a lot of day of. Basically 90% plus of all my videos are just the day of, whether it be like a video that shouldn't be the day of that actually takes like 30 hours to do. And I'm just like, I guess I'll do this today, you know, like a dumbass.
Top 475 death metal riffs.
Yeah. Those heavy. Yeah. I do like heaviest riffs. And like, I'm like, oh, it's just 20. It's just playing 20 riffs. It's just, and then it's like, oh yeah, I have to curate this. I have to, you know, actually get the files, the MIDIs, record everything, film it, edit it. Okay. Well, yeah, I can totally do that in 3 hours. No problem.
16 hours later, it's like, all right, almost done.
And I've been releasing videos at like 3 a.m. recently because that's of that same reason, which is so stupid, unhealthy. It screws with the algorithm and screws with people because they're like sleeping and they're, or they're about to go to sleep. And they're like, why is this out right now? You know,
I'm sure all your Slavic viewers are happy that it's coming out.
I'm sure they're coming back, even though that's like my only Slavic related video. And I have tons of Russian subscribers because of that. They comment all the time and I have no idea what the fuck they're saying. But hey, I'm sure they're happy. They're like, yeah, dude, finally you're uploading for us, like my Russian brotherland, let's go, brother. And I'm like, well, I'm just bad at what I do. That's why I'm uploading this.
Yeah, so that's the thing that I noticed. Like, I'll see like I don't know, like one of my favorite YouTubers, Psych RRL, she'll upload something at like 9 p.m. on Sunday, and she's super smart. And so I'm like, oh, I wonder why she did that. It's like, does she know something? And they're like, no, actually, she's a disorganized person. I'm pretty sure that she would agree that that was just a bad idea and she just did it because. So don't assume that just because someone else is doing something that there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, that's a very important lesson. And then that ties to that analytical thing where you're like, why is it working for this fucking person and not me? Maybe because YouTube just didn't fucking hate them that day. Sometimes it's just that.
Sure.
You know, it can be as simple as that. Or it could be as crazy as, well, people like them better than you and your content shit. And then that brings you down the spiral of wanting to quit.
Yeah. It's definitely that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode. Well, I wanted to talk about the content strategy stuff a little bit. And I guess in regards to the React videos, to me, where I feel like your channel has gone, and tell me if you agree with this, is almost more of like a friend simulator, to borrow a word from Shane Smith, the comedian, that he said. You know, you started out doing a lot of covers, but you always kind of had fun with them. You know, you weren't like one of the super serious guitar YouTuber types. And then you did kind of more of the silly series. And, you know, to me, I think the React is just like, I don't even really care about the song. I just want to hang out with my friend Nick and, you know, bullshit about music with him.
Yeah, no, that's even with the other type of content I've started doing, like for Monday videos and all that stuff. It's that same kind of take, I guess, that same approach I do, because I feel like the meme stuff, like 10 styles and all that, like Jared did that a long time ago and he fucking aced it, and he did a lot of stuff, and then a lot of people tried to do that stuff, you know, and that was really, to me, I think the peak of like the metal memeing, you know, stuff. And even K-Mac does his own kind of thing, right? And then so there's like the metal memeing stuff, and then there's like the guitar player memeing stuff, right? And those are like very guitar channels, and they do great at that. And for me, it was always so weird because I was kind of in between, but those are surprisingly kind of different audiences I noticed over the years, because the guitar players are like, well, why aren't you playing Freebird? And then the metal people are saying like, well, why aren't you playing deathcore with breakdowns, you know? So, and then also adding memes to that and kind of doing bridging the in between was so, it was a lot harder for me and weird And again, so I knew I couldn't be amazing at just one or the other because I'm already kind of splitting and trying to do both. So I eventually started to do more of the React stuff, would led me to do more of these, like, I call them like come on the journey with me videos, I guess, you know, where like I'll sit there and I'll try to make a trap metal song without having any idea what I'm doing. And I'll just sit there, have the camera rolling basically, and then after cut it. Kind of like the approach I've been taking, like with Twitch streaming, is the same kind
talentless of talentless idiot tries to make a trap song.
Yeah, yeah, literally, that's it. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Come hang out with me tonight. It makes me feel better because it's kind of weird when I'm filming it versus like when I'm on Twitch because there's actually people there then.
Yeah.
I like that environment a lot more, even though again, everyone's online and in the interwebs. It's still, you get that connection, right, with people. At least there's people existing right there. Whereas like when you're filming a video, it's just like, hello, camera. I know nobody else is watching in this very second. So it's kind of weird in that sense. But I still am like, well, I know in the mindset people will, you know, watch this, hopefully at least one person. And I have that mindset, like I'm hanging out with somebody or I'm just going through the journey. Like, what would I do on my normal time? You know, if I was hanging with a buddy or something, like, hey, this is a fun, stupid idea. Let's go.
Check your YouTube analytics while you're at lunch with your friend.
No, but my girlfriend is definitely sick of trying it. I'm seeing them all day. But yeah, no, just go forward and kind of take people on the adventure and take myself on the adventure. Cause it's a weird, scary video when I do those, but I've gotten more used to them because I don't know how it's going to turn out. That's right. The whole point. Like, I don't know if I can even do this. I tried to make a black metal song and I'm like, oh, I have to do vocals for this. I'm realizing this as I'm making it. And I'm like, fuck am I going to do? So I just Googled how to do black metal vocals. Basically, I smashed it with some compression, some fucking gain reduction, and a little bit of distortion. I was like, this sounds terrible, but this is what I made today. Here you go, internet. You know, like, I hope you
it's almost, you know, with stuff like that, it's almost better if it turns out bad.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's almost better.
I made a terrible black metal song. Here's how.
Yeah, and I feel like over the years, I'm lucky because I've built that, like, that thing where I can fuck up and it's not like I'm necessarily as scared if it sounds bad because I'm like, right, that's part of the joke. Like, I'm very aware that I'm bad at this. I'm saying in even all my videos, I'm bad, you know, and that's the same kind of, you know, self depreciation I give myself when I'm by myself playing guitar, trying to learn something. I can't get it right away. Fuck, I hate guitar. I suck, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of softens that blow if it does end up sucking, because people, if anything, just find it more relatable because it's true. Like, I'm not going to be magical at everything. I'm going to fucking suck at a lot because I do. But I'm trying.
I think it would be a very different channel if you were like some virtuoso, you know, that could just nail any. And I know people like this who can just write any song in any genre whenever they want.
Yeah,
that would be a very different channel though, and I think it would be less relatable.
I agree 100%. And that's something I guess I determined again earlier on when doing like, what do I really want to do? Right. Like, I do guitar covers. I do also metal meme content. And I'm realizing again, like, I'm not a pure comedian by any means. I'm not that fucking funny, you know, but I'm also not like a god at guitar. And I know that. I'm very aware. Right.
So you're like, you're like one of the characters like in an RPG that's just like a 6 out of 10
yeah.
at everything yeah. except like one dump stat where you're like a 1 out of 10 in that.
Yeah, basically. So I'm like, what is my actual advantage that I can kind of mix those two and just be a dumbass and kind of be more just freeing and relatable?
So your competitive advantage is that you're mediocre at a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
And it's more relatable that way anyways. And it's easier for me because I just get to be myself. Like, I give sometimes, like, I'll do like the new metal scene, or I'll do like scene videos, which are still like those like kind of skitty videos, obviously, where I get into character. It's obvious. But, you know, most of it is just when I do reactions, when I do a recent one I did was I learn any riff you suggest within 5 minutes, or I give subs basically to chat. Again, that's another one. It's just me, and it's very easy because I don't have to, you know, get into this acting phase of like, oh, okay, I'm ready to go. It's just like, camera, what me are you getting today? I don't fucking know because I don't even know how I am right now. So let's see what happens. And I guess that adds a weird variability in terms of maybe sometimes quality, because maybe some days I'm on, you know, some days I'm just fucking funnier or stupider or better at guitar than others. And you'll see it in the video, and other ones, you'll be like, what happened to Nick today? Did his dog die? You know what I mean? And it's like,
Well, I think that gets back to the consistency thing. Is you just show up every day. I think, you know, people waiting for that moment where they're super inspired and they feel like they're on and blah, 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 like where the stars have aligned. Well, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, you can't wait for that magic moment.
Exactly. And I've been really trying to limit the variables or caring about the variables that I know I can't control nowadays. And that's kind of, I guess, been my weird motto, is just do what I can do, you know, just go for it. I can do this day. I can do a video today. I can react to this today. Will it do well? I don't fucking know. Do I want to do it? Yeah. All right. You know, like, do a video then, you know, what's stopping me? And, you know, maybe it'll do amazing. Maybe it won't do well, because most of the time, actually, some of my biggest videos have been ones on like Monday, and I call them Monday videos because I force myself every Monday to essentially get out of reactions and covers and just do something that's different and weird and fucking stupid. And every Monday it's been like, what do I do today? And it's like 5 p.m. already, EST. Yeah, like literally. And I'm still figuring out what I do. And I'm like, this is something that could be stupid, and it's so random. And I'm like, it could hit, it could be terrible. And when I just do those, and sometimes they even take the least amount of editing and work and all that.
Yeah.
Some of my biggest videos. And I'm like, why? After the years, I'm just like, you know what? I don't even fucking care about the why. It just is. And yep. I'm going to just keep doing whatever this is. And again, it probably will never lead to me getting one of those like big viral kind of videos that kind of put my name out there. But you know what? Whatever. I've been on this steady ass grind.
You're doing great. You don't need that.
Yeah. I've been
if
on that.
If it happens,
grind,
cool. So. But. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I did have one question about the React videos. So those must all get claimed, right?
Yes, unless I know the label who I will be very nice with and who are very nice with me. Actually, a lot of labels.
Oh, and so they say they will release the claim if you have a contact there.
If I have a contact and I ask them, and I'm again, it's like nowadays, like the way of marketing, especially because of Rona and shit, for these labels is they're hitting up reaction channels. Like, this is a normal thing, and this is hilarious to me because, hey, I was doing covers for 5 years and no one fucking gave a shit, you know?
Yeah,
those were all claimed. But nowadays it's like that's how they're marketing. Labels are hitting up reaction channels, and this is something I was doing myself as a YouTuber when it came to my own music years ago, because I'm like, oh, this is just I'm in the YouTube scene, this is how I'm gonna get out there. I don't know publications, I don't, you know, know big media. I'm just gonna do what I do and do the YouTube community, and that worked then. And then yeah, labels have been doing that now, so it's this new norm of actually using reaction channels to promote songs. And because of that, again, I've gotten in contact with a bunch of labels and they've been super nice, and whitelisting and what it would call like releasing a claim essentially,
yeah,
is just it's a lot more common if the label thinks it's worth it, right? And again,
so that's why you have a bunch of Epitaph reactions.
I wish I got whitelisted by Epitaph.
Oh,
that's one of the labels that honestly, like, they know, that's the thing, they know I'm just gonna, if Architects or Bremi comes out, they know Nick's gonna do it. Yeah. Why the fuck? We're gonna.
And they'll get your ad money.
And they'll get that like $100, and they know, man. They're like, fuck.
Brett, if you happen to be listening, come on, man, do Nick a solid.
Do me a solid, dude, please, Epitaph. But yeah,
we love Epitaph. We want to help you. Please help us help you.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? And these labels used to think of it as like this scary, like, well, it's fucking YouTube, really. Why, you know, what we're if anything, we're mad at them because they're, you know, re-uploading in some way the music video or something, or like, fuck these YouTubers. But now it's like, oh, some of these YouTubers are getting like 50 to 100K on these reactions.
Sure. Well, I'm glad they get it, because like, yeah, it was maybe what, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or something, there was that wave of manual claims. I don't know if you got any of that stuff. Oh, and like, I would wake up to like 8 notifications of some of my videos. I'm just like, fuck off, man. I used fucking 6 seconds of one of your songs to promote some artist that nobody has given a shit about in years.
Yeah.
You're going to take my money away when I'm trying to promote your artist? Like, fuck off. It's so short-sighted. And so for a while, I wasn't using any clips. And it's like, you're only hurting yourself to get fucking $20 in ad revenue.
Yeah. I mean, I know people like Rick Beato, who are big, you know, people who kind of are on the YouTuber side, of course, and are always talk about it. And they're like...
They should fucking pay him. You know, his channel's huge. He's super influential. They should pay him to do a breakdown of one of their songs.
Yeah. And all this old music, right, that's owned by these ginormous ass labels, you know, and then Sony and Warner and all that shit. Like, it's, guess what? The younger generation isn't going to hear this shit because it's not even on YouTube, or it's not on even TikTok or whatever people are using now, right? It's just going to die off. And that to me is sad. You know, like I wish I could go and play some Guns N' Roses, but I know that shit's not only going to get claimed,
it's going to get blocked.
It's going to get blocked. Exactly. And what that's the worst thing. Like claiming, I've dealt with that for 5-6 years.
I don't like it, but I can, it's okay.
Exactly. Right.
My Slipknot video, which had 650,000 views, got fucking blocked.
Oh my God.
I'm like, how does this help you to block my fucking video that is just talking about how great Slipknot is? How does this help you?
It's so messed up. And again, working with these, with some of these labels and seeing actually how it works has given me a huge understanding of what's behind the scenes and why it's so fucked up.
I'm sure it's just some drone that doesn't know or care or have any, you know, it's just some random person that they hire. Just go look on YouTube and claim, or, you know, whatever the policy is, claim or block everything with this in it. And so it's just some drone going through a spreadsheet and clicking buttons. I get it.
Exactly.
But the labels have to be smarter than this. It is just stupid and short-sighted.
It's actually the miscommunication, I think, a lot of time. Because obviously, when it comes to, like, the band never always wants people to actually hear their music.
Of course. And I bet their A&R, and I bet, like, everybody with a brain there probably gets it. But somewhere with these, you know, with, like, Universal and Warner, these are huge companies, somewhere along the way, there's a disconnect between the people with a brain and whoever's actually clicking the buttons to claim stuff in YouTube.
Exactly, because think about it. It goes like the band, and then it goes to their manager, and the manager's usually always down with whatever the band wants. But then it goes to the label contact they have, the A&R, right? Which again, even that, they're usually pretty chill. Those are the people I actually work with. But then that's not, it's not like those are the guys that just press the green light button.
They don't own the publishing usually.
They don't own shit, right? They're the ones who then have to tell the label people, right? The actual people in charge of the label. And then the label people in charge have to tell the publishing company,
right?
It's just this huge fucking tunnel of like...
And the contact at the publishing company isn't the person who's actually making claims. So there's like between, even if you're best fucking friends with the person of the band, there's like 10 other steps in the chain before it actually gets to the, your fucking relative in Russia getting paid 3 rubles an hour to go claim things.
And if it's a big company, don't forget there's actually lawyers sometimes too.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Like I talk even to the A&R people sometimes and they're like laughing. They're like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like I really wanted to help you.
I get can't.
This. And there's like, there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, but you are the A&R at the label. And they're like, dude, there's, it's so much red tape that like you don't see behind the scenes. And I'm like, I understand that now. Cause it's like, wow, just to get a video not claimed. Cause again, even if you use like 5 seconds, like, it's ridiculous.
Like the band literally doesn't even know who control. They're like, I think the video is cool, but I literally have no idea who I would even talk to like help you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So nowadays, again, like I still react to and cover a bunch of stuff that gets claimed and it's owned by fucking Sony and Warner. And when I see that Sony Music, I just, like, I don't even fuckers. Bother. I don't even dispute it. I just, I'm like, yep, it's gone forever. That's, they own that and I'm done, you know?
For but me, if I get claimed, usually it's just for a little clip and I just, you know, there's a thing in YouTube, you can just choose to delete that part.
Yeah, yeah, I've done that.
Okay. I just delete it because for my videos, it's usually not vital, but you know, obviously for a react or a cover, that's not an option.
Yeah, and even when I've done a lot of like heavy, like I did a video 500 heaviest riffs, which was just a compilation of all my heaviest riff series I've done in like all the tunings, and like for fuck's sake, that video was 2 hours long.
And I didn't see that you did 500. Man, I thought I was joking when I said that. I saw the 150 heaviest riffs. I didn't see the 500 one.
Yeah, so my goal was to, I essentially did like 20 riffs out of every guitar tuning that exists, right? So like drop C, drop D, 8-string tunings, everything, and then standard tunings. And after doing all those videos, I did like basically a compilation where it got up to 500. Now I think I'm at like 700. It's disgusting. I should stop it. But yeah, I did that video. I threw it out there. And even YouTube was crashing because essentially it got claimed for like one of the songs. Like it's actually 10 seconds out of a 2 hour video. And I'm like, really? So sadly, whenever that happens, I just cut it out. I'm like, well, sorry, now it's 499 riffs.
Yeah.
But even doing that with such a big video, YouTube is exploding trying to cut that out. Like the video was offline for like a week going in and out.
Right.
Because of just cutting out 10 seconds. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, like this, they're claiming this fucking 10 seconds of a 2 hour video. And something I always,
what riff loved, was it?
I think it was Opeth Deliverance.
So it's not even like it was fucking Guns N' Roses or something.
Oh no. I never include classic because that's just the next tier. I don't even want to, like Rick deals with that shit. Right. I don't even want to go to that tier. I'm just dealing with sometimes the higher tier metal.
Once the boomers get involved, that's a whole other level of pain.
It's a whole other level, man. And It's such a fucking headache and copyright and all that stuff. I mean, the DMCA Act was something fucking made like before the internet. People even knew what the internet basically was. And
I think
it's
was like 1999. I remember. Yeah.
Like, come on, man. And even dealing with it on Twitch and stuff. It's like for the promotion of music and the indirect, you know, money that ends up going into bands' pockets. If a fucking streamer plays their music on Twitch or does a reaction video or does that, those people get more fans. They get more merch sales. They get, well, maybe not ticket sales right now, right?
But they will. You
know, they will, right? They get more fans and all that, which is way higher when it comes to seeing actual new eyes to the band than the expense you're going to get because, oh, this person on Twitch who had 200 concurrent viewers played my song. Well, we didn't see 200 new Spotify fucking players, bro.
Like, missed your 80 you cents. Know?
So like we're gonna fucking ban that person. Yeah. And it's so ridiculous. And I see again both sides of the argument, but I think one of the sides of the argument is very old school, that old
I respect their right to do what they want with their music.
Exactly.
I just think it's foolish of them to be penny wise and pound foolish, basically, and like claim everything. I just think that's a bad decision on their part. But
I agree.
If that's the decision they want to make, I respect it.
Yeah, and that's why like I've mainly just been working with. I'm lucky when I get a label content. I'm like, thank fuck a lifeline. You know, like I can actually do stuff with this label.
I know we got some label people listening to this, so they should reach out to you and whitelist your channel, and get some easy reaction videos out of you.
Yeah, it's that's the thing because like again, and I know you do sponsor videos too, of course. So like people would hit you up for sponsor video, and you charge your rate, right?
Like, yeah,
you would
charge which is your not rate, cheap,
which is not fucking cheap, exactly, right? And these labels are basically getting a full video reaction to the thing, which is, again, what people would call it, like a lot, right? For actually charging a company to do like whatever fucking raid or, you know, jewelry company and shit like that, right? It's a pretty fucking penny.
Yeah, it's going to be four figures for channels our size.
And these labels, you know, get that for free. And all we ask for is just, can we keep our own AdSense for the time we took to make the video and edit it?
Which is going to be like $150.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
Right. On a good day.
On a good day. And it's like.
So you just basically, I mean, you've been doing covers and stuff this whole time. So you must just basically be okay with the fact that your AdSense is not going to be a big income driver for you.
Yep. So I've expanded, you know, to everything, fucking Patreon, Twitch.
Does Twitch do? I see you have about like 30,000 followers over there. Does that do well for you, like revenue wise?
I get more money on Twitch than I do from YouTube.
Okay.
Which just, it makes me cry a little bit sometimes, but you know, it's how it is. I'm not going to complain. Right. And then Patreon also gets me more money than YouTube AdSense, actually. And then I also teach on, I do private lessons just online. I do guest session. I do, you know, guest work, all, you know, the usual music shit. And then, of course, also sponsored, you know, YouTube videos, which is a nice, you know, thing that, again, probably actually pays more than AdSense pays me at that point.
You know, everybody, I hear that from so many people. I actually do better on AdSense than everything else. Like, as of now, Patreon merch and brand deals are probably combined about the same as what I get from AdSense.
Bless your soul, dude. Fucking A. Because, 90% of my content is copywritten.
I very rarely get claimed now. And I don't know if that's just luck or if they're smart enough to understand they shouldn't claim it or what. But I hardly ever do now.
Dude, yeah, I envy people, YouTubers, that can actually monetize their content. I'm like, wow, I wonder how that feels. Like, it must be a great feeling. Right. Like, and I'm only recently I've been lucky enough to kind of get a sense of that because I've worked with labels. And then they'll be like, hey, Nick, we got this band, which I know you fucking love. You know, like, here you go. You want, you know, we'll whitelist it. Well, actually, I have to always ask, you'll whitelist this, right? You know, smiley face. And then they'll be like, you fuck. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, we're pretty good.
I think the point is that if you have an audience of people who support you, you can find ways to monetize. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the takeaway for me. And, you know, our channels, I think you get a little bit more. I think you get more monthly views than I do because you have 1,300 videos. But I think our channels are more or less about the same size, and which is not, I mean, we're, I consider us to be still small YouTubers, you know, we're maybe on the larger side of small, but we're still small.
Yeah.
You don't need to be like PewDiePie to have a sufficiently large audience to monetize on Patreon and Twitch and all these other places. You need, you know, there's the 1,000 true fans theory. If you have 1,000 people who will support anything you do, you can make a living off of it. And I in my experience, that's 100% true.
I agree 100%. And for me, it's always been a weird dynamic of, I guess, balancing me monetizing, you know, my followers and fans versus wanting to instead monetize companies and still having freedom, right? Because that's my number one. Like, I never want to be owned by a fucking label, a company, or any of that shit, right? I want it to be very obvious. Like, everything is me. If you see a video, it's from me. Even if I do an ad, it's because I actually like the product in some way, right? I'm not just going to fucking sell out for just a few easy bucks, right?
So that's the difference between you and me.
I mean, again, everyone does their own. And that's just something where I've just been fortunate enough where a lot of the ads that hit me up, like, I do enjoy the product. And then yeah, there'll be some where it's like, just like, it just makes no sense for me or my audience. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, fuck, that helped me rent. It's nice. I kind of want to do it, but it's like,
I would never do an ad for something that I genuinely like think is a bad product.
Right, right. Yeah.
But I will do an, if it's some mobile game that,
I've done the raid too, man. I've done the raid. Like,
you know, I'm not going to lie and say it's my favorite game, but I will say the facts about it that they give me. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
I don't think that's dishonest.
No. Exactly. And that's something I spent a lot of time, like, I'm very transparent with my audience. I literally tell them when an ad's going to show up. Like, I'm like, guys, tomorrow I'm releasing a video with an ad, you know, like, just so you guys fucking know. Like, I'm super transparent because I feel like it kind of shifts that weird dynamic of usually, especially before in general, people were like ad equal evil. You know what I mean? Like, ad sellout, done. Corporations now own this. You know, Walmart's going to have their trademark next to this channel in a second, right? They have taken over. But being very open has made it more that shift of dynamic where it's like people see an ad sometimes on my channel and they're like, fuck yeah, Nick's getting paid.
Yep.
You know, it's like that supportive. Where
I think,
like,
people understand now how yeah, it works. And it's like, if you want content, there's got to be, someone's got to pay for that at some point, whether that is the audience, brands, mm-hmm, you know, some combination of those things. There has to be money coming in the door or the content doesn't get made. And I think people understand that now.
Exactly.
For me, my whole channel, I think I've been, I guess, fortunate that my whole channel has always been supportive of people monetizing their work. So, you know, I was kind of worried if I would get like pushed back when I started doing, you know, brand deals, but I didn't, I think, because I've always supported, you know, musicians and anyone else doing that. You know, if like fucking Bring Me the Horizon gets a McDonald's sponsorship, good for them.
that's fucking awesome. I'd be actually quite excited to see that. I hope I have something I can react to. That's all I care about.
Exactly. just let me feed off the, you know, the leftovers of your McDonald's deal.
As long as it works in the SEO, bro, I am good with whatever you guys are doing. Okay. As long as I can hear yeah, you about it.
Do you ever feel like, and I don't want this to sound shitty because I feel this way.
Okay.
Do you ever feel like, I don't know, kind of like, I guess I'll say a bottom feeder, in the sense that I feel like all I do sometimes is talk about stuff that other people did and I didn't really do anything myself. And I don't know, sometimes I feel kind of, I don't know, shitty about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh no, I felt the same, you know. I mean, when you do a fucking reaction, you're taking somebody else's work and making funny faces over it, you know.
Right.
Like that's how I definitely thought of it, kind of that first time. Until I got to the point where I feel like I more so add value than take it away. But oh, for all those fucking years, definitely I was like, you know, like, I'm doing a cover reaction, you know, like, I always had that guilty feel like I'm doing this. And again, like, I know the labels don't want it or whatnot at that time. And it's like, the bands never care. They were always pretty supportive. But like, you know, it feels like, well, if I'm getting known for like a cover, which isn't bad. Hey, fuck yeah, dude. If you can break out in any way, bro, mad love to you. Congrats. You're fucking, you killing it, right? Like, I don't care if you get big for cover or whatnot. But at the same time, it's like that bad feeling of like, no, a feeling like you're known for something, for somebody else's work, right? So that was always in the back of my head. Luckily, no one gave a fuck about my channel enough back then, so like, it never kind of turned to that. But it definitely helped me build kind of my audience overall. That, yeah, like, I definitely have felt that. And just it's a weird dynamic. And I like, art is art, and it can be transformed in so many ways. You know, I'm not going to sit there and be like, my reactions are these magical new concepts, which is completely crazy.
It's called art, mom.
Yeah, it's this whole new thing that makes it so this art piece that I'm watching this video, it's not even that anymore. I don't even know why I put the band name in the title. It's this new thing. Like, obviously not, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it has its value. It adds something, right? Where it doesn't take away, it doesn't fuck, you know, the community necessarily. It's just this other extra thing. Hey, you want to watch the video? Great. Or hey, sometimes you watch my video first. I will tell you, go watch the original video. You know what I mean? Link in description. Go watch that original video.
It's certainly a lot better than, you know, if you were one of those channels whose whole angle is just talking shit about the stuff that other people make. That's way worse.
That one I'm not as like of. I don't like that as much because,
you know, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos where I talked about this, but
yes,
as much as I know people, I know that content would do great. I'm just never going to do it because to me, that's a line that I'm not going to cross of that just makes you an asshole.
I never feel good whenever I upload negative things. Like not when I upload like honest things, but when I upload something that I'm like
right.
very harsh, just and I can sense like I'm kind of being a dick. You know, I've had videos like
bands are totally fine with it. If you're like, hey, I don't really care for this, here's why.
Yeah, exactly.
They're fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I even myself, like I've done videos probably where I definitely have gone a little too far on that edge.
But when you're like malicious and like trying, and you're, yeah, exactly. When you're like, God, I was kind of a dick about that. And when your channel gets big enough, you know they're going to see it.
Yeah, that too. That's the weirdest thing now. And I'm sure you've had that too when even you're doing your videos on bands or like, you know, scenes or specifically, right? Where the bands probably contact you in some way. And it's such a weird dynamic where you're like, even now when I'm filming, I try not to keep it in my head. Like, the band could see this, but I know after I upload it, like, yeah, the band could see this. And it's
they
like,
definitely will.
They definitely will.
Or someone in their team yeah. will, or like 100% chance of that. Like, with a channel as big as yours, mm-hmm. it's going to get to them and their team. They may choose not to watch it, but like, yeah. you know, it will get surfaced to them in some way or another. I like that because it really forces me to, I guess, it forces me to be the best version of myself, which is to be honest. I'm not going to lie to my viewers and say that I like something if I don't, but I'm also not going to take the easy way out and just be a shit talker.
Yes.
You know, it's like, how do you say something that's honest and potentially critical? Like that video I did about A Day to Remember. Like, I don't really know those guys, but I talked to them a little bit on Instagram, and I know lots and lots and lots of people who
yeah.
are kind of on their team. They're involved with their work and stuff, and I'm like, man, I do not like this album, but I'm not gonna say that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I don't want to be an asshole because I know for sure they're gonna watch it.
Yes, it's such a weird dynamic, and I've been in that,
but it's a good thing yeah. because I was critical and they're fine with it. And I, you know, so I guess my point is I think it's possible to thread that needle. And to me, that's the hallmark of a good creator, is you don't take the easy way either way of lying and say that you like it or just being a shit talker. There's a way to do both.
Yeah. I like most bands, like as long as you're just kind of respectful, like I always just kind of my default thing, if I really don't like something, I'll be like, I don't like it. I'll explain why. It's just not really my thing, you know? And that's kind of, I'll say it. Like it's, I feel like that's a lot harder for somebody to kind of come at me and be like, fuck you, Nick, even though I still get people telling me to cut my face off and all that
sure.
shit. You know, it's just usual YouTube things.
But. I mean, if someone's going to come at you like that for a reasonable opinion, that's on them, not you.
Yeah, that's true. That's also just the internet, so I'm pretty used to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, even being able to interact with the bands and then being a lot of chill. I've had many reactions where I'm like, yeah, not really my thing. And the band's been like, hey, dude, just thank you for checking it. I'm like, you're yeah. fucking awesome.
Yeah, they're grown-ups. They don't expect everyone to love it. Well, I've taken up enough of your time. I appreciate it. I feel like I could chat for hours, but probably have to cut it off here. Any words of wisdom or thoughts or advice or anything that you want to give anybody before I let you go?
If you want to be a YouTuber, you better love it. It's a grind. It's interesting. And the analytics will make you crazy. So just make some cool-ass content you think people will like.
I agree. And don't use Reaper. All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home thinking about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.